Right. It's been so good so far. It's just going to get better. That's how good God is. He just keeps building and building and building. Because we've been speaking about the power of the tenth. The word tithing, if I said we're going to speak about tithing, a lot of Christians would understand that. Maybe church people have been in church a while, but many people outside of the church wouldn't even know what a tithe was. It's an old English sort of word. And the definition of the word tithe, if you look it up, means tenth. It just simply means tenth. And probably it's better to call it tenth because then it reinforces in your mind what it is. So it's often in the Bible, it's translated both ways. It'll say Abraham tithed, or it'll say Jacob would bring a tenth. And it's the same word. It's just how it's being translated. So when we bring our tenths and our offerings... It sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? You say, come and bring your tenths and your offerings. They say, no, it's tithes and offerings. And we're just so used to using that word. But it just literally means tenth. And why tenth? And we covered this. So you can go back to our website and check the last 2 weeks where we spoke about the two things. First of all, that the tithe is tenth because the number 10 in the Bible is representative of something that means complete or full. You know, if I'm wiser than 10 counselors... I'm not saying I'm actually wiser than 10 physical people that are counselling. I'm saying I'm wiser than all the counsellors. I just put a number on it, but that number represents the whole group. So many times in the Bible when it's using the number 10 in that way, it's just representing everybody. You've come with me 10 complaints. Jacob said regarding Laban, he says he's changed the agreement of my wage 10 times. That doesn't mean he counted them and there was 10 different changes. He just kept changing it. And it was representative of all the changes. So the number 10 represents all. So the 10th represents a portion of the all, which is when you bring your tithe, you are bringing that which represents everything. It represents who you are, where you came from, what you're doing, where you got there, how you... And we're able to earn that money, the life that you have, the provision that you have, the grace that you have, the strength that you have, all that is in there, the resources that you've been given, the inheritances you have, anything that you have is represented in that. And you bring a tenth to say, this represents all of me that I'm giving to you. Because, you know, sometimes we say, well, it all belongs to God. Well, it does all belong to God. We understand there's that sense. You know, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, it's all his. Eventually, he'll sort it all out. But in terms of finances and what we're doing here on earth, he actually said there's money that's not, it's ours to oversee and manage. They tried to trick Jesus at one time and said, you know, should we pay taxes? There's a good question. Maybe we should deal with that next week. Get real. Let's talk about taxes. Some people see the tithe as a tax. You know, I pay taxes to the government, I pay a tax to the church. They see it as a tax. They don't really understand the difference. But what did Jesus say? He said, bring me a coin whose face is on the coin, and said, Caesar. And he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. If it's all God's, why has Caesar got some? So, you know, yes, we understand sometimes by saying it's all God's, but the reality is you are given as a steward your money, and part of that money is a tenth, which God says, I want that portion to give back to me. And so it actually is something where we make that choice and we say, we'll give that and return that to the Lord. Then we understood that a lot of people can get confused and think, well, tithing, that's something we see in the Old Testament, therefore it's Old Covenant. And therefore, it has no place in the New Covenant. We just give as the Holy Spirit leads. And of course, we do that. We're led and directed by the Holy Spirit. But then we see that tithing was something that was seen, not introduced in the law. It was introduced by Abraham bringing a tithe to a man called Melchizedek, who was a high priest of God from the place of Salem, we know as Jerusalem. And Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. And then he gave Melchizedek a tithe. He gave him a tenth. Where did that come from? There was no instruction. It was the first mention of the word tenth and tithe. It was the first time someone ever did this, and Abraham just seemed to, out of the blue, just did it. It's just sort of, this happened. But there was something that he knew to do because of the whole principle. He was giving a portion of the tenth to him, and he was giving to Melchizedek. And then the writer in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the New Covenant, he says there's two verses about Melchizedek. One is that Abraham gave him tithes, and he said, and Melchizedek received those tithes, and Melchizedek had blessed Abraham. And he said there's two things. The greater blesses the lower. So the fact that Melchizedek blessed Abraham, who's like the father of the faith, is the father of the whole covenant people. But Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. So Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. And he gave tithes to Melchizedek. And it says there that it's like really when Abraham gave it, all the future generations were in Abraham. So in Abraham was the Levites. All the Levites were now giving tithes to Melchizedek. And he said this Melchizedek represented Jesus, who is our great high priest, because in the book of Psalms it says, I'll make you a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. David saw that this prophetic picture that Jesus would become the high priest, not Levitically, because he's not a Levite, he's from the tribe of Judah. But he was not a priest according to that. So we cover all that last week and you can work through that. But the point being that our giving of tithes is a part of our ministry to Jesus, our great high priest, who's leading us not out of the law and out of the old covenant law, but out of something which is his plan and his purpose, which is to gather a whole lot of people to himself, to make them a people and a people that would minister to the Father as priests. And we covered this last week. We're holy priesthood given unto God, and that's our role. We God's plan for you is to have a people that is his own people, his special people, apple of his eye, and we can minister to him boldly in his throne room and come to him. And the tithe is a part of that. And in the old covenant, they were given instructions as to how to bring the tithe. Now, whilst we aren't under those laws and we're not no longer do the sacrifices, we don't bring the tithe the same, the concept of tithing and some of the teaching of tithe, we can go back there and get some instruction and help from. All right, we're not under that rule, but we can see when it's helpful. In fact, Paul, talking to the Corinthian church, he refers to an old covenant requirement that says you shall, and he was talking about should churches provide finances for those that are preaching to them. And he said, let me give you an example. In the old covenant, in the law, it says, do not muzzle the oxen while he's treading out the grain. And that was a requirement that if the oxen is walking around and treading out the grain, it's doing all the work, but some people would put a muzzle on it so it couldn't reach down while it was working and chew some of the grain. It was like, okay, I want you to do the work, but I don't want you to eat my product here. I don't want to, you know. And so he said, no, I don't want you to muzzle the oxen. If they're working, let them be able to stop and eat while they're doing that. And then Paul says, you know, God didn't care about oxen, did he? Sorry for all the greenies that are just like, what? You know, he cares about dogs and cats. I know that. But maybe oxen, you know, he doesn't care about. But he said that God wasn't really thinking about oxen, was he? He wasn't really caring about oxen. What was he doing? He was giving a principle. So Paul was able to look at the old covenant and still get principles from it, which he could then apply to New Testament situations. So just because something's in the Old Testament or part of the old covenant does not mean we can't look at it and still glean something from it. But we're not following it the same. We're not under the same restrictions of it. We're not under the same curses that it provides. If you go back and you start trying to follow the law and start saying the Ten Commandments, I remember once a minister talking to me and I said, what are your church preaching on? He said, oh, we're preaching on the Ten Commandments. I thought, okay. And he said, you know, because they're really good. They're like God's ultimate plan on how to live. And I gave him the handshake, all the best with that. Because I'm like, you ever tried to do that stuff? You do realize you're setting your people up for failure. Because that's what the covenant of the law does. It both gives us a God's plan and then shows us we can't do it. It's designed for that. That's its purpose. And so it's like, you know, so I'm not giving you the old covenant, so this is really how God wants us to live, because Deuteronomy 27 says, "Don't. If you do this, you're cursed. If you do this, you're cursed. If you do this, you're cursed." And then it finishes with Paul, one of Paul's great verses, which he brings out in Galatians and Romans, I believe it is as well. He says, "Well, let me just read it to you, because you might. This is one of the great verses in the Old Testament." Everyone needs to memorize this, put it on your fridge. All right? It's just like, you know, Psalm 23, Lord, you know, Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. Who's got another verse that they'd like to put up in the fridge? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on in your understanding. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37. These are beautiful verses. Well, now you can add one more to your fridge from Pastor Peter. You can put Pastor Peter's verse for my fridge. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26, it says, "Cursed is," yeah, you got it right. "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, amen." All right, can everyone say amen? I'm not going to read out all the things that they were saying amen to, because some of them are a little bit, whoa. Now you want to go back and read Deuteronomy 27. "Cursed is he," verse 26, Paul says this is a major verse in the Bible. All right, it's central and foundational to his understanding and teaching on the new covenant. All right, so this is why Deuteronomy 27:26 is a verse everyone needs to have on their fridge. "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, amen." Let me just quote it to you from where Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "For it is many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written of the law to perform them." Paul says, see, that, do you understand? It's just amazing. What's he saying? The law says about itself, if you don't do it all completely, you're cursed. It doesn't say if you do it 90% right, you're 90% blessed. It says if you don't do it all, you're cursed. If you don't do it all, you're cursed. So if I give you the Ten Commandments and you do nine of them, but break the tenth one, what are you? Cursed. Paul says, the law says about itself is, if you don't do it all, you're in deep strife. But thank God, Jesus became a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus was put on a cross by God, and he became our sin. And because he became our sin, he became our curse. And he was fully dealt with by God. And I love what David said. And he was resurrected to prove it was done. Finished, complete. You don't have to wonder about it. All done. All right. Why am I saying this? Because I do not want us ever to go back and start doing tithing under the law. That's a dangerous, slippery slope. If you start trying to follow the law to get blessed, guess what? Unless you do it all, you end up cursed. It's impossible. It's a wonderful way to get blessed, but ultimately you're setting yourself up for failure. Our blessing is in Christ, who became a curse for us. So we are blessed. And some people say, oh, thank God, therefore I don't have to tithe. Whew. I don't have to pay the tax to the church. Our tithing isn't done under the law. It's under Melchizedek's priesthood of our service and ministry to the Lord. It's a part of that. But we can go back to the law to learn some of the things that we understand, how God sees it. So Deuteronomy 26, one chapter earlier, he gives instructions. He says, when you bring a tithe, I'm not just going to tell you what to bring, because, you know, what is the tithe? The tenth. So he explains that and went, but he says, I'll tell you how to bring the tithe. Because this is one of the things about the tenth, the tithe. The tenth is a noun. What is the tenth? The tenth is that portion which I've got in my hand. It represents if I have $1,000 of earning this week and I bring $100, that is the tenth. It's a physical thing. It's a noun. It's something I can touch, something I can point to, something I can hand over. But the word tithe is also a verb. Yeah. All right, can anyone tell me another noun that can also be a verb? Same word, but it becomes noun or verb. Sorry? Run. A run. Okay, yeah, so you can go, you can run at the run. What is the run? If you go and to, there's a special run this weekend, a fun run. And we're going to go to the fun run, it's a noun. But what's the fun run? It's where you run. It's a noun and it's a verb. Okay, the word pencil is obviously a, some people, I don't know, grammar, you know, I'm confusing. As soon as you start talking nouns and verbs, just nod and look smart and, I don't know. Pencil, let me explain it, is a noun, it's a thing, object, it's a pen, it's a, but can it be a verb? Yeah, let me pencil that in for next Wednesday. So the using of the pencil is a verb. So pencil is the verb, pencil is the noun. There is a sport that my dad was very good at called bowling. And he would bowl. And you know what they would have in their hand when they would have a bowl? It's called a bowl. And it's a small round sphere that is biased on one side. Like some people I know. And you would bowl it. Yeah. You would bowl a bowl. It's a physical thing. It's a verb. Now, some people, they bring the noun tithe, but they don't tithe it. Okay, if I have a bowl, and what you got to do with a bowl, there's a small white ball that's called the kitty. The idea is you stand on a mat at one end and you roll it down using the bias to get it land as close as you can to the kitty. If you've never seen bowling, you do that, go down on the end, bowl it. If I said to you the object is to get the bowl to the kitty, you could do it but not bowl. Have I bowled? Well, I put a bowl where it should go, but I didn't bowl. Yeah, that's good. I don't want people to bring their tithe without tithing. Yeah, you understand? It's not just, okay, I gave the tenth. What else do you want? Well, you're not tithing. I can hear it. Yeah. I can hear it in the, I paid my tax. Yeah. Get off my back. That's not tithing. That's bringing the tenth. That's just putting the tenth in. God doesn't want you to put the tenth in. He wants you to tenth the tenth, tithe the tenth. And he gives you instruction here in Deuteronomy 26. So let me give you some instructions on how to bring your tenth, which tells you, okay, we're not going to go back and become part of the old covenant, because that would be stupid, but we are going to learn the principles and the motivations that God had. You know, many years ago, I was asked this question, and before I'd given it as much thought as I have today, and thank God for this series we've been doing, because it's helped me to really dig in deep and see the Melchizedek priesthood and the understanding there. But back then, I didn't have the understanding I had, but someone came to me and says, why should we tithe? You know, it's an old covenant thing. We're a new covenant church. And this thought just came up to me, and I said, well, because in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, bring your first fruits, which is a representative of the tithe, the first portion. Proverbs 3, verse, let me just read it to you. It's still in Deuteronomy 26, so I am coming back there. But Proverbs 3 and verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from the evil. Be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. It talks about the first fruits, the tenth, the first part, the tenth. It doesn't mention tenth there, but it's the concept. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I said, Proverbs is in the Old Testament, but it's not law. It's just good common sense. Proverbs tells you things which are just wise. They're both wise back then and wise today. You know, in Proverbs it says, a loud greeting to your neighbor too early in the morning will be taken as a curse. All right. So all the teenagers there say, a loud greeting too early. Yeah, I'm just get some clarity there from the online people saying, is that your mother or your neighbor? But it says a loud greeting at the wrong, and the principle is you can be saying the right things at the wrong time and it won't be received as a blessing. It'll actually become a curse. Just by putting it in the wrong context and time, you can turn what is meant to be a blessing into an actual curse to them. And so, wow, that's Old Testament teaching. That's Old Covenant. That doesn't apply to today. Of course that applies to today. That says good common sense. That's good lifestyle. Proverbs is how to live a good life. It's good principles for life. And guess what? One of the good principles in life is honor the Lord with your first fruits. And I said, God put it in as a proverb, not just as part of the law, because it's good sense. It's good practice. It's good, not because you have to, but because it makes sense. I don't say, well, I better not greet my neighbor at the wrong time because he's going to, because that's what the Bible says I should do. No, because it's good practice. It's good sense. It's good for what you do. Some people are writing that down very fast. That's a good verse. Hallelujah. So Deuteronomy 26 gives us instruction what they were to do when they were to bring their tithe. So let's learn how to tithe the tithe, okay? Sermon title, Tithing the Tithe. How to tithe the tithe. If you're not tithing the tithe, you're just putting money in the plate or the bucket or online. Don't just put money, tithe. That's why in Proverbs 3, it doesn't talk about, it's not the physical aspect that is so important, it's the honoring God. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. It's an attitude thing. If it's not coming from in here, that's why people say, oh, you're just, forcing us to do something. Wow, it's just not going to work. You're not tithing. It's a thing as a tax. This is an opportunity to honor, to give him of the first portion. So let's read what they were to do in verse 1 of chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. Then it shall be when you enter the land, key pass, enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and you live in it. Now, Deuteronomy is given whilst they're still in the wilderness. This instruction is given before they're in the land. This is wilderness teaching what to do when you're in the land. It's very important. He was framing their life as it would be in the promised land. Then you'll take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you'll bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord God chooses to establish his name, which was that they bring it to the tabernacle, which eventually became the temple. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at the time, the Levite, and you'll say to him, I declare this day to Yahweh my God that I have entered the land which Yahweh swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. Do you notice it's not just go and put it there and go off? It's go there and say something. It's go there and speak to it. When you hand it over, you're speaking to it. And he said, then you're going to speak this. Verse 5, and the priest will take the basket from your hand and sit down before the altar of your God, and you shall answer. So you'll speak now to that process. And you will say before Yahweh your God, my father was a wandering Aramean. That would not have been the thing I would have said. I'm like, did Moses just have a little glitch? Did God sort of tell Moses, what is happening here? My father was a wandering Aramean. where did this all come from? Why is he son? Who is our father? You know, we have Father God, but according to Galatians and Romans, we have another father, a father of the faith, Father Abraham. We used to sing about him in Sunday school. I had no idea why. Weirdest song ever. Father Abraham, how many remember? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. I didn't even know. I thought the Jews were sons of Abraham. I am one of them. So apparently I'm a Jew. I am one of them. So are you, my friend. Let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons. It's just the Christian hokey pokey, people. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot, nod your head, turn. Just a cynical person would think that the Sunday school teacher is just trying to tire the kids out so they would listen more carefully for the rest of the sermon. But that would just be a cynical person. Because why else would you not be teaching the kids Father Abraham? And maybe in this church it's different when I grew up. I got no explanation why we sang that song. And for multiple years, until I started reading Paul's teaching in Galatians, and then in Romans chapter 4, I'm like, that's what it was about. I am a son of Abraham. He's my father. I suddenly realized I got my natural father, I got Father God, and I've got Father Abraham. It's all true. What's this wandering Aramean? What happened to Father Abraham? Shouldn't it say there, my father was Abraham, to whom the covenant was given? My father was Abraham, the blessing came to us by. He's bringing a tithe. What is he talking about? My father was a wandering Aramean. And you know that who he's referring to was not even Abraham. Abraham's fathers and relatives did come from Aramea, the area of Syria, as we know it today. But remember when he wanted a son for his children, he had to send them off. Remember Jacob, when he got himself in the situation where his brother wanted to kill him, not a good move. I've done things like that myself, you know. Apologies to my brother. Things I might have done to make you want to kill me at some points when I was growing up. But he got the blessing that was intended for Esau, and then he had to run. Where did he run to? Aramea. So that's where he went to. And he married the two daughters of his uncle. But they were Aramean. Aramean, that's the heritage. So it's his heritage. It's where he's come from. I don't want to be talking about Aramea. He's all about Canaan. He's all about the promised land. That's where they are now. Why are we talking about? I know we've been into Egypt. Now we're in the wilderness, but we're coming into our promised land. Why are we now talking about Aramea? I don't want to bring that up when I'm here bringing my tithe. What's he doing? Wow, that's weird. What is a wandering Aramean anyway? And it says, he went down to Egypt and sojourned there for a few in number they were. So this is talking about Jacob. Jacob went down there when Joseph was taken captive, sold into slavery. He ends up down in Egypt. So from Aramea, Canaan, back down to Egypt. Because why? Why did the family follow him down? He said, I want to bring my father and the household, about 70 people, down to Egypt. Why to Egypt? Because the world was in famine and they were dying. They were starving. They were totally out of resources, totally, in such a terrible situation. And Joseph, who was raised up supernaturally to become the prime minister, the governor of all Egypt, said, that's my dad, that's my household. And then he said, what you intended for evil to his brothers, selling me into slavery, God is intended for good, because he has preserved the line of Jacob through bringing them and rescuing them. They would have starved to death, except for Joseph bringing them to Egypt. 70, but when they were down in Egypt, they became a great people, they flourished. Why has this got anything to do with the tithe? Well, one of the reasons is that this concept of wandering, when you look at just about every commentary I looked at and dictionary that referred to said wandering is only part of it. The word actually refers to wandering, lost, and destitute. So this is not wandering, it's wandering with, you're at the end of, you're wandering in the desert and you're about to die wandering. This is not, I'm wandering about the garden. This is wandering, I'm out in the desert and I've gone for days and I'm out of water and I'm out of food and I'm about to die wandering. Our father, Jacob, had no place to call home because everywhere he was trying to establish himself was this becoming no good. He couldn't stay at Aramea because of Laban. He had to get back. When he got back, it turns into a famine, and he ends up coming down to Egypt. But he doesn't belong there. It's not his home. It's not his... Where is his inheritance? It's back in Canaan. But here I am down in Egypt. I belong back there, but I'm down here. He said, when you bring your tithe, I want you to remember the lowest point that our people got to with the promise. They have a promise of being in the promised land, a promise of being established. Now you, where did you bring your tithe from? Well, from my farm here in the promised land, where I'm established, where the enemies have been driven out. And now I'm enjoying God's provision and God's peace and God's inheritance. But it wasn't always like this, was it? He said there was a time when your dad was lost. Yeah. Yeah. This people think how far you've come. Yeah. When Jacob was wandering down to Egypt, how far the promise of a people being established in Canaan must have felt. Think how far that looked. Yeah, so he said, when you come with your tithe, I want you to say, look how far we have come. Yeah. Look where you have brought me. Amen. What have you brought me to? Well, so what's our equivalent? Well, if you look at, remember last week we looked at 1 Peter, which I just referred to. Let me read it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week we talked about verse 5. And it says, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted with God through Jesus Christ. This is who we are. This is what God's called us to be. We can minister. We can bring things like our praise and our worship that is acceptable to God. You know, we should not take that for granted. That we could stand here this morning and we could lift up our voice and we could worship God and minister to Him and He would actually receive it. He doesn't have any obligation to receive it. He's God. He created us. We rebelled. We went our own way. Yeah. We could do whatever we want. I don't have to listen. Yeah. Why would I take what you're doing? But because Jesus has cleansed us and healed us and restored us and we worship, He says, come right in and I will actually receive it and I will be, I will take it and I will welcome it and I will respond to it. We should not lose sight of how great a thing that is. That is just, it's not our right. You know, we say, well, God must hear us because we're His creation. No, we were a creation in rebellion. He has no obligation to listen to us. But He, by His grace, has opened the door. That's why the prodigal son was such a powerful story to the Pharisees who could not understand why Jesus would eat with the sinners and the tax collectors. Why would you give them time? Why would you be amongst them? You're holy. And he said, I'll tell you a story about a guy who should have been rejected by the father, but instead was welcomed back. We should not take this lightly, that he has been receiving our worship. And we've been open to that. We can minister to him as priests an acceptable offering. And then in verse 10, it says, for you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We weren't the people of God, but now we are the people of God. When you bring your tithes, that is your chance to say, I was a long way from you, and it looked a lot like there was never anything going to happen, and I was at this, at my lowest point. You can think of your lowest point personally. You can think of the lowest point from Adam. You can say the moment when Adam, my spiritual father, messed it up and was kicked out of the garden. When Adam, just think about this, when my spiritual father, Adam, who gave me this thing called sin, when he rebelled with God and was kicked out of the garden, who would have thought that here I am now? Amen. Restored, worshiping you, ministering to you, loving you, bringing you this off, talking about how good is my God, Amen. Saying how much has he done. Yeah. Let's finish with this. Romans 5. This is the heartbeat of the tithe. And verse 11. Not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have received reconciliation. I was looking up the Greek definition of this, and it literally means to restore to God's favor. To be restored to the place of favor. Back into friendship. Back where God's favor now sits on us. Hallelujah. Some people think that only Jerry Savile taught about favor. No, the actual dictionaries and talk about it. Restored to God's favor. When you come with your tithe, you are standing saying, I have been restored to a place of favor before God. Lord, you receive this openly and you welcome my ministry to you. Lord, Paul said when the church at Philippi was bringing gifts and ministering to him as the apostle, and they would send him offerings to help him so he could do his work. He said in Philippians chapter 4, your gifts were a sweet-smelling savor offering unto God. Amen. What you were doing was causing God to go, that is so good. Because your heart was right, your attitude was right, you were doing it out of this process. When you come to bring your tithe, you do it out of an attitude of, look how far we have come. Look where we were and look where I am. Take that devil, poke in the eye to you, and a glory to God. Hallelujah. Look, we were at our lowest point, it looked like nothing was going to happen. You can imagine how the devil must have been celebrating when Adam was driven out of the garden. Got him. Got the very thing that God had created, the very plan that God had. Got him. God says, look how far they've come. Here they are, sons, a people. They were not a people. Now they're a people worshiping me, ministering me. They're able to come into my presence and call me Abba, my dear dad. They're able to worship me. And look, they are bringing with them a portion which represents all their love and all their trust in me. Look, they are honoring me with their first fruits, and they are giving this unto the Lord. That is tithing. Not the tenth is just the noun. The verb is that attitude. There's a second part to it, but I'm not going to share it now because of time. But we might pick this up another time in the future. But you know what the second part is? The blessing. Yeah. Hallelujah. The blessing that it releases, yeah. The blessing of the open windows, yeah. The blessing of the God's provision into everything. Isn't that covenant sort of talk? Old covenant, new covenant? Well, it's actually just good common sense. Because remember Proverbs chapter 3, what did it say? Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. You do this, God will just bless you and abundantly over and above. Hallelujah. So they were taught to come in and not do that. If you read further into Deuteronomy 26, they were taught to say, look how the Lord has blessed us and is causing us to be a blessing and ministering to us. And I'm going to experience that. Malachi chapter 2:3, Malachi 3 said, you know, test me in this, says the Lord. If you bring your tithes, will I not open the windows of heaven and bless you? Hallelujah. Test me in this. Put me to the test and see if this is not what I would do. All right, so what have you learned? How to tithe the tithe. All right. Turn to the person next to you and say, I know one's a verb, one's a noun. I don't really understand, but I know what I should do. I need to bring it with that attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. My dad was a wandering Aramean. I want you to think in your own life of the lowest point and say, who would have thunk it back then? And look at what I'm doing now. You can even go back multiple generations. Look back. I can think back to my grandfather. Was this. What a mess. What a mess my family was in. Yeah, just sad. Who would have thunk that now here I am worshiping and ministering to you, God. The devil would have thought, got that family. They're a basket case. They can't do anything. Destroyed them. And yet God got hold, and here I am, Lord, representing you and blessing you. Hallelujah. You can just go back. You can pick. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thought that this is what God has done? And every time you bring your tithe, just remember how far that gap has been and give him glory. Amen. Thank you, Caitlin.